Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Might trick me once, I won't let you trick me twice, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betway. Premier League football is back. It's Friday, 1st of April. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Yes, it is. 9 games to go in the Premier League, everybody.
It feels like ages since there's been games, and at the same time, this feels really sudden, doesn't it? It's like, oh, the Premier League's back. Yeah. Sort of forgot it existed.
Yes.
Did you miss it, Andy Brassel?
Yes.
Yeah, I know you did.
I think the way things have rolled out this week, I was expecting to be at Portugal versus Italy on Tuesday night.
Mm. Yes.
And as that didn't happen...
No such game.
It feels like, exactly, it feels like I've been waiting for football for longer than I should have been.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's where my vibe is coming from.
Cristiano called you and said, why aren't you at this big game? And you said...
Because it's not a big game. At which point he slammed the phone down on me.
Shoo.
Do people slam the phone down there?
I bet he does do the shoo thing when he hangs up on people.
Oh, God. Lot of Premier League to talk about. We're going to start with Liverpool against Watford. Jürgen Klopp's going to be bouncing around the place, isn't he?
Because
he's He's got his wish with the five substitutes thing, and that's going to make all the difference.
Yeah, I mean, he can't use them this weekend, can he? Just to be clear.
Emotionally.
I mean, that is the thing, having desperately needed them over the last 2 years. It's like, oh, have this now. I mean, it's kind of like going out into the rain, getting soaked, and, you know, once you've started, like, wringing out your jumper, getting given an umbrella.
Mm. Yeah, very much so.
You still take it, though, do you?
Mm. Yeah, I suppose.
You're like, no, I'm one with the elements. By this
I mean, there's still a overloaded calendar. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But, I mean, this is potentially a massive game psychologically for Liverpool, isn't it? Because if they win, and, you know, given their record against Watford, I don't think it's too outrageous to say there's a good chance of that happening. Then they're going to go top. And, obviously, City play later on, so we'll have the chance to go top again. But, I mean, with their meeting coming up soon.
They play Burnley, like, Manchester City.
They do, Jim. Yes. They
just
do.
Just to keep this within the realms of reality.
They love doing
that.
They love it. But still, I mean, for a long time it looked like City were just going to walk to the title again, and Liverpool started clawing it back. If they can actually, like I say, get that psychological blow in where they get on top, it could be massive. And like Aymeric Laporte has been saying that, you know, like Liverpool would love to play how City play, and they're envious of them and stuff. And it's like, that seems a little bit insecure to me. Like, it's like, why are you starting to say that now?
Jim,
but trying to employ some mind games here. Are you a bit nervous about the Scousers? Sounds like it to me.
You think Aymeric Laporte sounded nervous in that interview, do you?
I think it's very pointed that he would say things like that.
I think they would like even a part of our game, he said. We have a phrase in Spain for it. I should probably have got brass to read this, but un par de huevos, brackets, a pair of balls. We have that, not to be afraid of making a mistake.
Just seems interesting timing to me.
A par de huevos, brass.
I mean, I kind of like the way I kind of like the way in Spanish that balls are eggs. It's more accurate, isn't it?
More fragile.
Oh, they say eggs
possibly.
Instead of balls.
Yeah, huevos, eggs, yeah.
Oh, no, that really puts a whole new huevos ranchos or whatever, that lovely breakfast.
Bollock eggs.
Bollock. speaking of people who are going to need some balls, Roy Hodgson used quite a dark analogy for Watford's hopes in the relegation battle. Did you see this?
I did.
This is actually very sinister. He says, we have tied a chain around our neck and attached a rock to it. We've got to pull that with us now wherever we go, because we're points behind the teams. We need to catch up.
I quite like Goth Hodgson. It's quite, I think, are we going to see more of this throughout the season? It just gets all very like Edgar Allan Poe and just like really dark and brooding and mysterious, slightly emo.
You see, I started this thinking, you know, it's some sort of Houdini vibe. But now, which is very much on brand for Roy, but you've basically described him as if he's, you know, sort of wearing all black and leathers and got some sort
eyeliner.
Of eyeliner. Got a choker on. I'm not in favour of like imagining Roy in that context.
When that choker situation, his choker has a rock on it.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Which is, dearie me. Yeah, I don't know, because it's not, well, let's not dig too deeply into it, because it starts off sounding suicidal, and then he's now like, he's trying to make out it's a sort of, I don't know, it's some sort of way of like keeping their strength up and
doesn't seem too motivating to me.
No,
personally.
Right, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, it's their first game in 3 weeks, so
it's weird. This
aside,
isn't it?
Will we see Roy's magic in evidence?
I don't know that we will, because it's the worst possible game, isn't it? To come back to when you're like after such a long break, you would think that maybe you'd have a chance of catching someone unawares where they've lost a bit of cohesion, lost a bit of rhythm. But I don't think that Liverpool away is the is the ground to test that on. But that is going to be interesting, isn't it? Because there are almost certainly going to be some teams who just like who drop a bollock egg essentially, because they've lost a bit of cohesion. So it'd be interesting to see where that comes into play. I don't think it's going to be here though.
Yeah, is Salah still going to be seeing purple spots after the other night? I think you have to ask that.
Salah and Manny, psychodrama as well.
It is. It's like
part two.
Isn't it?
Like, are they going to talk at all at this point? She's like, you know what? I love you, mate, but I can't bear the sight of you.
The same room as you. Yeah. Well, Salah's supposed to play. He trained very well, is what I read. So, you know, presumably we're absolutely fine and he'll feel totally fine.
The thing is, when you talk about in training very well, that makes me think of nervous Jim, because when we went to Arsenal versus Liverpool, like, worse than Salah playing was the fact that he was jogging up and down in front of us in the first half. So I'm going to come on in a bit. I'm not on the pitch at the moment, but I'm actively chipping away your enjoyment of this first half by making you feel ill at ease because I'm going to come on later.
They
won't have Trent Alexander-Arnold, though. He's still injured. So, you know.
I don't think you're meant to deliver injury news in such a jaunty voice.
I was trying to be nice to Watford,
positive to Watford.
Yeah, no, I don't want Trent Alexander-Arnold, well, one of our brave boys.
Back to your point about them having 3 weeks. I mean, it is quite unprecedented, really, in like a modern calendar, and especially a modern Premier League calendar, to have that sort of room to work with the players. Of course, some of those players have been away and some will have had a break, but I think especially for someone like Hodgson to get his ideas across, okay, maybe it won't work in this fixture, but I think we've seen from like the battle at the bottom, moving away from the title bit.
Why don't they call it the battle at the bottom?
Do they not?
I've never heard it. It feels like the relegation battle is a bit of a clunky
scrap.
Yeah. Mm. The battle at the bottom. I like it. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, it sounds more daring, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I think there are daring teams down there this season. And, you know, if we go back to, say, January, go back to that fixture in, what, mid-January or the second weekend in January when Watford got that late equaliser at St James's. Like, at that point, you thought, well, maybe Watford have got something left in the tank. Mm. And at that point, you thought, Newcastle are fucked, but basically. And things have changed around so quickly. None of these teams are completely hopeless at the bottom. And I think that's slightly different to previous relegation scraps. So, like, if you were to tell me now that, not necessarily this one, but say Watford were to get a couple of decent results and they'd still be in the mix by the end of April, I wouldn't be astonished by that. Even though I would consider them a relegation favourite now.
You say none of these three teams are absolutely hopeless, do you mean none of these three teams except for Norwich?
No, I mean none of the teams at the bottom. Even Norwich have some good players.
They've lost, six or seven in a row now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very, very unlikely that they get out of it. But my point is that none of the bottom five, six, despite results that would suggest the opposite, are completely trash.
His point is the battle of the bottom is the place
more in
to
it,
be.
Still.
Sven-Göran Eriksson has revealed that he was invited to a royal reception with the Queen at Buckingham Palace back in 2006, guys. And we bring this up
pre-World Cup, presumably.
We bring this up.
One was very disappointed by what happened in Gelsenkirchen. Would you like to come over for a cocoa and talk about your worries?
At a certain point, I asked her, this is Sven, if you're listening, Marcus. I asked her if she liked football. She said, not really. I asked her for her favourite player or team. I thought she would have said Beckham. She said, according to Sven, we only have Sven's word for this, I should, you know, be very clear about. She said, Michael Owen is my favourite player. He looks so clean.
Interesting. Interesting insight, isn't it?
You see, this is why
she doesn't follow a lot of the psychodrama around football, isn't it?
You see, this is why when I was channeling the Queen, I didn't do the voice. I didn't dare do the voice in front of you, basically.
At a certain point, I asked her if she liked football. At a certain point.
It sounds like.
Yeah. Sounds like a pickup artist. It sounds like one of those terrible men, like, at this point, like, rub your ear and then say that. Like, what, those weird blokes.
Yes,
he obviously has all those tactics, doesn't he?
At a certain point, it sounded more post, I thought, from that phraseology.
Mm. He's weighed it up.
Lovely. What a thought. What a thought. As we say, Manchester City are making their annual pilgrimage to Burnley to sample some of their special mead on Saturday at 3:00. The pressure will not be on. Who writes this stuff? The pressure will be on, it says. Will the pressure be on? The pressure will not be on. Unless I've completely misunderstood the nature of City versus Burnley engagements. Phil Foden has been busy. Actually, this is not, it's not his party, but apparently his mum's mansion in Cheshire held a Mother's Day festival. What locals are calling a festival, a very loud lot of music.
Mother's Day music festival.
That's what they're calling it.
But apparently, Michael Bolton on the main stage.
Well, apparently it was Whitney Houston ballads that got the police to come along.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how the police can have come along, because according to there's been a lot of pushback from the Foden residents, because they were said that it finished up at 10. I don't think you can call the police on your neighbours if they're just making noise until 10.
depends, doesn't it, on who your neighbours are.
And how loud it is.
I would imagine.
Really?
That... maybe it was disappointment because, I don't know, I would like to think if there was a police complaint about a neighbour playing loud Whitney Houston,
yeah,
it would be like, you know, some of the more upbeat ones, like, I want to dance with somebody. If it's the ballads, I, you know, maybe that was the complaint. Come on, let's get this party started.
Yeah,
yeah. The get off the greatest love of all. We're not interested. Yeah. That's not party music. Come on.
I also think that, you know, other people with mansions in Cheshire might be quite quick to get annoyed about things.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the mansions in Cheshire don't have as much land as you would expect.
Well, sound travels very easily, famously, doesn't it? So it
especially
would,
if you've got big speakers, right?
Yeah, which, let's be honest, the Fodens will.
The retaliation should have... Maybe that was the retaliation from the other mansion. It was like... Why haven't you got enough land? Then we wouldn't be able to hear you and your crap choice of Whitney Houston songs. Yes, we mentioned the five
Is that
subs.
The Queen again.
Yes. We've mentioned the.
These people who just stereotype posh people by doing one standard voice.
We mentioned the five subs thing. By the way, that was decided in this meeting yesterday with the Premier League. And it seems as though they've turned it all around. Everyone's pro. Southampton's Ralph Hasenhüttl says it's good. Jesse Marsh says it's good. David Moyes says he's changed his mind and it's all good.
I think, you know, we complain about the amount of games that players face and something has to give, doesn't it? This is a practical way to sort of ease that burden.
Agreed.
And essentially, like, fewer games is really the answer, I suppose, or spread out in it.
The answer that will never happen.
Well, exactly, yeah. So if in a practical sense, it has to happen. And of course it gives the bigger clubs an advantage. But, you know, it sort of worked over the lockdown, didn't it?
Yeah, also I agree with you. Like I was saying yesterday, for any clubs in the Premier League to be pleading squad poverty is nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
But when we were kids, there was only one sub. So by the time, if this keeps going at this rate, Brass, it's going to be like the NBA, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just rolling subs.
Well, I mean, you can change half the outfield team, which is pretty crazy.
Yesterday. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like the idea of rolling subs.
Yeah.
Rolling subs. Yeah.
Of course you bloody do.
Yeah, of course I do.
Yeah, the question I guess is presumably they'll have it in three blocks. You'll only be able to make three substitutions if you know what I mean. So
as it's done in Europe,
that doesn't affect the kind of potential time wasting, which is another thing that people have talked about.
I think as well it happening in across Europe means Premier League just had to get in line. It needs to be standardised, really, isn't it? Needs to be the same everywhere.
The Premier League has to get in line.
You know what I mean, though? Like, it has to be the same sort of playing field.
You're offended by that, aren't you?
No, purely just because in European competition, you're under the same parameters, right?
So,
yeah.
That's what we want. We all just want to be part of one blanket, lovely organisation like the European Super League. That's what you want, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Kate. That's what I'm
hinting
That's
at. What we're digging towards. Actually, Burnley, guys, I've really played this game down, I realise. Burnley have actually beaten City once since 1975, so, you know.
And Val Veghorst wasn't complaining.
How massive would it be? It's going to happen at some point, surely. If it happened this weekend.
I just don't think it's going to happen this weekend. Brass, what do you think is going to happen? Because whatever you think is going to happen doesn't happen.
Burnley have got it in them.
Nice. Oh. Nice, nice, nice.
Sorry, Burnley fans.
But the other thing is Burnley have only won three times this season, I think. So I don't feel like it's going to happen. But they are playing Everton next weekend, I believe. And West Ham host Everton this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Burnley has... Everton has been shifted for telly and with good reason. You know, that is absolutely huge. Not that it's not huge for Everton this weekend when they play West Ham, of course.
Yeah, but they might win against Burnley. It's possible.
So you're saying they've got no chance of beating West Ham?
Well, the only way I think they might have a chance of beating West Ham is if West Ham are just now... Because now, since Spurs beat them, they're now kind of out of this race for Europe in the league. But if they're focusing completely on Europa League, then they might just play all of their reserves.
Yeah. Everton have quite a good record at West Ham, but this season their record on the road has been really, really poor. So I guess one of those is going to come into play. Everton might be a team who do really well from this break. Just a chance to recalibrate, a chance to reset, a chance to just go, look, what on earth have you been doing? Let's try something different and have some time to actually work it out and implement it. Suggests you disagree.
This is just like imaginary in your head.
This is very much a thought exercise.
I think that's the thing with Everton. I don't think that Frank Lampard doesn't have a magic wand to make everything that's wrong with the club better. On the other hand, They require a relatively small upswing to not get relegated.
Right.
I think that's the thing. That relatively small upswing will probably happen at Goodison Park. It won't happen here. I think what you were saying about West Ham and concentrating on the Europa League, it's interesting because even though Lyon are a big name, I think that is a very winnable time.
Yeah. So they should.
They're not having a good season. Although, did you see, Lyon took advantage of the players leaving Ukraine and Russia rule temporarily to sign Tete for the rest of the season from Shakhtar, who was interested in a lot of Premier League clubs. It was interesting because the news leaked that Lyon were signing a Shakhtar player, and L'Équipe put it out and they say, the name's not filtered yet. The fans worked it out before the journalist did because Tete followed the barber who cuts all the Lyon players' hair.
Oh, come on.
And they turned out to be right. That is excellent detective
often
work.
Those things turn out to just be wrong, don't they? They turn out to be just nonsense. Like when
people
Isaac
following
just happened
planes
to be in London because he was in London. Oh. Yeah. He was doing medical. But yeah.
But people don't go to Lyon for a haircut, though, do they?
Well, maybe they should.
Who knows?
Yeah,
I love that.
Maybe I should. Yeah.
That is, you look great. That's not what I meant. West Ham looks great, doesn't he, Jim?
Yeah, of course, we all look great.
We all look great. Oh my
That's
God, that hurts,
neck.
Man.
That's such a neck.
But I mean,
we're all people.
The prep for Lyon, though, for West Ham, isn't going to be like, let's throw the league, though, is it? They're still going to be. You know, giving it the raw.
No, so their fans are as angry as West Ham fans were like a year and a half ago. Really? So
don't forget though, guys, before the international break 2 years ago, Frank kicked off, didn't he? He was on about Huevos and his players not having any because they got battered by Palace in the FA Cup.
Mm. Yes.
Does that...
In a typical FA Cup tie, if I remember rightly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think, and I do think there is maybe a glimmer for them this weekend because, as you say, the Europa League is huge for West Ham. And because they have a squad that, you know, that is, something's going to have to give at some point because they didn't strengthen in January, as we were saying. Maybe the international break has come at quite a good time for West Ham. But I think the thing is with Everton, it is going to take a huge amount to go wrong for them to go down still. I think.
There's the games in hand.
I mean, maybe that's not the thing. They need to, you know, get to the end of this season without this dreadful feeling of emptiness and without negativity hanging over the whole Lampard regime. Mm. I think he seems to be dodging the bullets on a personal level quite well so far.
Yeah, so I mean, I wonder how he does that with all his friends in the media.
He's just got good eyesight.
You're a dad, right? If you're delivering a bollocking, presumably you don't want to do it and then wait 2 weeks to effect...
Yeah, there is a point that it's not worth giving it out anymore because you've just left it too long.
Mm. So if you were going to motivate as a dad, Dele Alli, what would you do?
Mourinho already gave him the ultimate chat.
Yeah. And Mourinho's tried one style, hasn't he? I think it's fair to say that one hasn't worked.
I think I watched that nearly as much as I watched the best of Malcolm Tucker on YouTube because I love the look on Dele's face of, I assume he's going to stop talking and I'll never have to listen to him ever again. And it's quite wonderful.
Yeah.
But from a Dele perspective, it's sad. I wonder what will happen to him next season.
Yeah.
Because presumably Everton are going to try and wriggle out of this before they actually have to pay for any of it.
Well, he still hasn't started a game, which is astonishing, really, isn't it? And he turns 26 in a week or so.
He was the best player on the pitch in the Spurs game. I know that's not... You know,
the game that they lost 5-0?
Well, he was only on for 20 minutes, so what the fuck was that? It's worth a try, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, at that point, they didn't score when he was on, don't they? I didn't.
That's the thing about Dele, though, isn't it? That, you know, the narrative has been set that he's got the ability to be one of the best in the world and he just doesn't give a shit anymore. And I think, I think that's completely unfair.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
And I think the interesting thing is, it's a point that Lars Sivertsen, our pal, has made, actually. If you look at his advanced numbers over the last year and a half or so, in terms of running, tackling, covering ground, all that sort of stuff, there's really no argument. He's done a decent job and as well as he's ever done. But he's so far away from goal. And that has continued at Everton as well. Now, Jim, I think you're right. Like the fact that he's, you know, not really been given the keys to the team, I think is an issue. You want to feel like maybe Everton aren't in the position to do that. Maybe they're not in the position to let him play himself into form. But to put him in a slightly more advanced position, I saw one of his first games when he came on as sub at Newcastle. He came on quite early because there was an injury. And, you know, there were bits where you get the ball, dribble around a couple, and you think, yeah, I remember that. But it's like 45 yards from goal. Yeah. Like, what use is that to anyone?
It?
And that comes down to the management. That doesn't come down to him.
And
but
they
of all the
but
players.
He's been doing all this weird stuff generally, Lamps, in terms of, you know, like, Calvert-Lewin finally starts because he's been injured, and then he didn't start in the FA Cup game. Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? I think from the outside, it's very easy to look at Everton and Frank Lampard's remit and think, all right, well, there's nothing to lose there. So why don't you give Calvert-Lewin a run of games to try and get back into form because other stuff isn't working? Why don't you give Dele Alli some starts, let him play his way into form, let him play with some freedom? But that's it's easy for us to say, isn't it? It's probably
because we're sitting here going, oh, they're not going to go down. But if it goes really badly, they will go down.
Frank Lampard can't go into training and go, we're not going to go down, are we? So don't worry about that. So let's just enjoy yourself.
I would love it if he did.
On the point about Dele, I think it's just a tiny bit misreported as well, this thing about getting rid of him. The situation, I think, is a maths thing. So when they signed him, it was there was a kind of, you've got to pay more money, but only if he plays 20 games. Now, there were only 18 games available before the end of the season. So I guess it was only if they kept him on for next season that they would have to pay this substantial greater sum.
Yes.
So it's based on all of the
tweak of a sort of obligation to buy, wasn't it?
Yeah, and based on what we've seen this week in particular about millions and millions of pounds in debt and all this money that they've spent, Everton. I don't know. It seems like a sensible way of, well, if they played him properly, it seems like a sensible way of getting someone on the short term and then moving on so they don't have to spend the money. I don't necessarily think this is a Dele fail. And obviously, it as you can probably tell, I want him to do well.
Yeah, it might just be the wrong fit. You know, I think it's very easy to just lean into this decline narrative, isn't it? But it isn't necessarily automatically going to work, especially at a club who are, you know, let's be honest, quite jittery at the moment.
They're not
a
set up for success,
case.
Are they?
That's exactly right.
No,
are a basket. Everton, we say this with all gentleness and respect for your long history, but you're currently a basket case and we feel bad for you. All right. Have a think, go and do a bit of mindfulness. We're taking a break.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
To run and does. Can he play a colleague through? It's Jacob Murphy released. Murphy one-on-one. Jacob Murphy to win it. Oh!
never not be funny. Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. We're playing our colleagues through today and now we're going to get... Oh, it's me, Jim and Andy. Jim looks frightened, so we can get some emails.
If you've got something for us, showfootballramble.com.
Robbie has been in touch. He says, was listening to today's ramble and was obviously intrigued by the football theme park idea, the Luis Suarez zone not being one anyone would visit, and was wondering which footballers you think would have the most visited zones. I've brainstormed a few below. I think need to be part of the park. The Peter Odin Wingy zone, driving around, trying to get into places you aren't allowed. Andrea Pirlo zone, lots of wine tasting and admiring fashion. Ian Dezeu zone, crime solving zone. I mean, come on. Royston Drenthe zone, record and film a rap video. Any more you think? You will think I've missed. I do think the Luis Suarez zone is obviously where you eat. The food is named after everyone he's bitten. So you have like a Chiellini burger or an Ivanovic dog or whatever.
Oh, you can combine it with like traditional South American barbecuing.
Yeah, perfect.
I like that. Like sort of cook your own food. You know, you can do that at Moomin World. They have this like little beach. It's on an island. You walk across this jetty.
Was this a dream?
No,
are you sure this is real?
I didn't have a lot of sleep in my first few years of parenthood, so perhaps I imagined the whole thing. But you walk across this bridge to this place called Nantali Island. Mm. And it's not like Disney. Like the Moomins like just wander about like they actually live there. It's good. Anyway, on the beach, right?
You mean people dressed as Moomins, right?
That might be what you call them. But they have this little beach where they have like communal barbecues where you can take food and like barbecue stuff for your lunch. It's good.
Did you see? Did you see the picture of Alison doing his like churrascaria Brazilian barbecue thing? Just top. Since the minute he got back to Brazil, just like you know, topless and with a lot of meat.
I mean, the ultimate.
And now I'm getting that mashed up with Moomins in my head.
Let's not cook any Moomins.
No.
I think the ultimate in barbecuing. Have you seen the Diego Simeone series on Amazon?
No.
Like, honestly, the barbecue he has in his house is like an
in
enormous restaurant.
Like
yeah.
Indoor barbecue.
Yeah, yeah, wow. Yeah. He's got this full, like, sort of two-tier grilling system.
Wow.
It's magnificent.
Should you really
magnificent.
Be barbecuing indoors, though?
Wouldn't that be
amazing,
though?
If you've got patio doors that open out like he does,
yeah.
It's fine.
The ventilation would have been taken care of, won't it? I'm sure. He earns a lot of money, that man. what a day out that would be, a barbecue at Simeone's house.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a zone. I think a Simeone zone's got to be in there somehow. Very unpredictable.
I think as well,
it's probably
because...
like a boot camp, isn't it? It's like, that's a fitness thing. It takes you through your paces.
Exactly. Because he's a very intense man, I think that's why you have the barbecue indoors. So what he'd do afterwards, after you'd eaten a load of meat, he'd open in the Simeone zone the patio doors, and then he'd get Profe Ortega, the guy who does the hellish fitness that makes everyone feel weak at the knees, to like run it off by taking you on a 10-mile run or whatever.
Oh, imagine that.
You got to wait, though, haven't you?
Yeah,
you got to wait at least
I bet under Simeone, there's no waiting. Off you go. Off you go.
There's no point in sicking it all out, though. If we're being real.
Well, if you're being sick from the exercise anyway, I mean, you know, it's hard to tell what's what, really, isn't it?
No, it's not, because it'll be chunky.
Oh. Show at footballramble.com, everyone.
For your stories of vomit consistency.
Jim's moving the show on. We must really have hit a critical moment. Yes, show at footballramble.com. Tweet us at footballramble. The next, I was going to tell a story about training and being sick, but you're lucky because you've missed it. The next game we're going to is Manchester United versus Leicester City. That's Saturday at 5:30. Nemanja Matic has confirmed what many people seem very aware of. He says the atmosphere in the dressing room at Manchester United is not fantastic.
Yeah, it's interesting, the actual interview with him, this sort of just slips out really casually. He's like, yeah, you know, we're not where we want to be. You know, we need to be winning games. The atmosphere is not that great in the dressing room, obviously. And it's like, they're so listless, aren't they? Just stuff like that just keeps slipping out. It's like, yeah, it's quite shit to play for Man United at the moment, but it's one game at a time. But even the sort of media-trained kind of saying nothing kind of thing that footballers do is failing in the face of all this.
You know what the answer is, don't you, Brass?
What?
Get Ole back.
It's an interesting campaign hill to die on.
Yeah.
He'd remind them all. It's Manchester United. You shouldn't feel sad about playing for Manchester United.
Yeah, you're right. It is Manchester United. And that is a tactic.
Yeah. It went well, didn't it?
You don't think there's an equally jolly former player who they could appoint next season?
Oh, sounds like you have someone in mind.
Oh, I'm just, you know, just throwing it out there.
Just throwing it out there. Right in. Jolly former player, show at footballramble.com.
That's not an email address. Jolly former player at footballramble.com.
Show at footballramble.com.
You'll be so disappointed when you get the bounce back.
Headline your subject.
Yeah.
Jolly former footballer. Yeah. The big news at Old Trafford is that Bruno Fernandes has agreed a new contract. It's going to make him one of the three highest paid players at the club. Do you love him? Kind of, don't you? I feel like.
Yeah, I like him, yeah.
But he has had a bit of a dip in form over the last season and a bit.
Yeah, and I think there are a couple of reasons for that. Firstly, they absolutely flogged him for the first year and a half that he was there. And he has looked, as you would expect, a mentally and physically weary player who is not prepared to abdicate responsibility to look. I think they've not built the team around him in the same way since Solskjaer left, and I think that's been a bit of an issue as well. I know people have talked about the Ronaldo thing. I think that's a red herring, and I think as well, if you look at the way that they've linked in the past few Portugal games, Fernandes and Ronaldo, it's proof actually that the one positive thing from United season, maybe not from a United perspective, but certainly from a Portugal perspective, is that they've ironed out their issues.
Oh, because, United fans feel better.
There you go. They fit together much better for Portugal than they did in the Euros last summer, which is interesting. So, yeah, lovely bit of Old Trafford workshopping. Wow. It's not been a wasted season.
It's benefited Portugal. So that's something.
There you go. It's something that's put a smile on Fernando Santos. Actually, it's not possible to put a smile on Fernando Santos's face. What am I talking about?
What's weird about the Fernandes thing, Brass, though, is that there wasn't really any urgency. Because the deal is only an extra season, right?
Mm.
But it's just making him first.
So what,
that's the Manchester United way, paying over the odds for all of your players. And if you're not, you need to crack on with it.
There we go. Perfect. Everyone's happy.
That's something we can really get behind.
Well, I mean, it probably shows that whatever plan they do have in place, Fernandes is a big, big part of it. Obviously, Pogba's probably going to go in the summer. So that leaves a big, big hole. They're going to do a lot of rebuilding. And what they can't have is someone who is an essential part of the plan they're putting together being kind of vulnerable to moving as well. So, I mean, I'm starting to think that there is a plan there and they're gradually sort of enacting it and that maybe things will stop being quite so chaotic at Man United soon.
Is this the same fever dream where you believe that Frank Lampard is, working away and Everton are going to be great?
Yeah, and the Moomins are on as well.
They cook barbecues.
I think if you get good authoritative Moomin as your assistant manager, I think you're onto a winner, because they're very zen as well, aren't they?
No, Snork Maiden is our current Prime Minister and that's going terribly, so I don't think that would work.
Trying to carry us back down to the realms of reality. These are the balloons of you floating above that I'm pulling down into the studio again. Leicester, of course, faded away in the last couple of seasons.
But such has been their Premier League form that there's nothing to fade away from this season.
It's
they
weird,
could fade
it?
Away in the cups, I suppose, couldn't they? Because they're very much live in the cups.
They fade up now? Is that how this will go?
Louder, yeah.
They fade louder.
Yeah, I think, well, Leicester City, the point is that they're, as you say, in the cups, they could be holding aloft the Europa Conference League trophy.
A trophy in each hand. Them.
That's big. You can't...
Imagine a two-cup season for Leicester.
You can't sniff at that, can you? The thing is, they've had a lot of injuries and I think that's been underplayed. So my take would be that potentially they're going to fade. Yeah, they are. They're going to fade up.
They're going to finish strong.
They're going to finish strongly. So they're 10th at the moment. They've got players coming back in. They also didn't have, I think they only had a couple of players going away for international duty. Wesley Fofana's been out. Johnny Evans as well. It has been a really tough time.
Absolutely. And you're right to point out the defensive players come back. And Jim's pointed this out when we were speaking about it earlier as well. If they can defend like competently between now and the end of the season, which they've not managed for the bulk of this season, that will give them a huge chance. You know, they're a solid club with a really good squad, and that will make an enormous difference if they can defend plausibly between now and the end of the season, particularly in those cups.
Spurs go off against Newcastle on Sunday at 4:30. Yaya Toure said that despite being, he's working in Spurs youth setup since December.
He's everywhere, isn't he?
He's everywhere.
Calling Jurgen Klopp.
Calling it. Yes.
He's just, you would if you could, wouldn't you?
I get it. I probably would.
I want to see what he's up to.
I don't know. Yeah. He says he hasn't had a chance to sit down and chat with Antonio Conte because he's so busy. Now, I'm not clear here whether it's him that Yaya is so busy or if Conte is so busy. But hopefully everyone is
busy. Well,
they're
both quite busy gentlemen, aren't they?
Yeah. So hopefully everyone is busy.
It's a mutual busyness, so no one feels left out.
Alan Saint-Maximin, guys, has got some flack for his last two games before the international break, particularly after that defeat to Everton, where he gave the ball away. He's been posting on social media, Jim, which you love to see. He said, "People forget quickly, but I know what to do to restore their memory."
Needlessly cryptic, isn't it?
He started, well, I think it's clear what he's going to do to restore their memory.
Dribbles.
Scoring a brace against Steel and Taylor's Gulf United in a 5-0 win in Dubai.
I only judge someone on their last game. Yeah. That's what I say. Also, is this cryptic? To me, it seems like very, very straightforward what he's saying. But we're doing that English people thing of being...
Is it a poem?
We're being confused by someone with something which has the suggestion of metaphor.
Yeah, I think
maybe.
Right.
I mean, he is French.
Hey, but you know, he's banging him in against Stephen Taylor's Gulf United, as you say, and Stephen Taylor
nearly clear run off the line.
Defensive didn't quite colossus get at the time. Those players will be so motivated to play for Stephen Taylor, as we've said. So that's that's pretty huge, I think. So watch out, Spuds.
Is it better or worse than Lacazette's hat trick against Brentford B?
It's not as good as that, is it? It's a hat trick.
How many pens were in there?
I have no idea. Right. Frankly, it wasn't on TV. But well done, Laka. So how do you feel about facing Newcastle? Because they're a different prospect now, aren't they? It's a weird feeling.
They've become miserly.
They have become miserly in defence. Right, yeah.
That's not what we like.
No.
We don't like playing those guys.
Although Spurs love scoring at home, don't they? Son and Kane in their
we
back
be
garden,
breaky.
Essentially.
We'll be out there breaking
that's
things
not,
up.
Not you want what you want from a neutral, is it? Like, miserly team visiting Antonio Conte team. Sign me up.
So you're saying don't bother?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show. Guys, there's something else for you to catch if you love a bit of sports bureaucracy, which we always do on our show. It's the World Cup draw at 5 o'clock, British summertime, from the Doha Conference Centre. That's history. Gianni Infantino said yesterday, "Don't worry, guys. He will stand for re-election for a third term as FIFA president."
Oh,
so, Jim,
thank goodness.
Could you deliver your statement on that piece of news?
Thank you for all you've done, Gianni. All you continue to do, and all that you will do. You're a shining huevo.
He also says that the biennial World Cup brass was not his or FIFA's idea.
Yeah, they were just very, very publicly exploring the idea to see what everyone thought.
Is he trying to throw Wenger under the bus?
He 100%
That's interesting.
That seems like a mistake. You don't throw Wenger under the bus, do you?
Well, as Alan Pardew find out, he's a lot bigger than you think.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's big, isn't he? I've met Wenger, he's huge.
Yeah, he
like
is.
Like a grasshopper.
Yeah.
Big bird,
like
really.
Ah, yeah. But the way he's folded in on himself, I think it's more grasshopper. I found him more grasshoppery.
Yeah, I don't know. Big bird's never struck me as particularly toned. And as we know, Arsene Wenger looks after himself. So
yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's a poor comparison.
Big bird's got quite a belly. He's got a beer belly on him, hasn't he?
He does.
He does.
Yeah. Which raises some questions about his lifestyle when he's not on Sesame Street.
Yeah, it really does. Gosh.
Well, that's what happens with that level of success, doesn't it? A lot of long lunches, you don't look after yourself.
Yeah.
Not really got time to go to the gym anymore.
No one's saying no to you.
He's feathering his own bed. Right, Betway's water score, everybody. Luke's not here, so I'm going to talk you through it. Partly that. In fact, I've kicked Luke to touch because I got it right last week, just in case you missed it. I got Ferran Torres right. Most inexplicably. It's time for Betway's Forward to Score. Entry is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's do apply. Game one we've got here is Manchester United against Leicester City. That is Saturday at 5:30. Jim Campbell is up for this one.
I have gone for narratives Harry Maguire. I can see him scoring a towering header against his old club
like
while under pressure.
And everyone will cheer. That's what we want to see. Game two, West Ham against Everton. That's on Sunday at 2 o'clock. Who have you got, Andy Brassel?
Mikel Antonio. Long afternoon for Everton, methinks.
Oh, I think you might be right. Game three, Spurs against Newcastle. Sunday, 4:30 kickoff. Pete Donaldson has got this one for us. I feel anxious as I press the button. What will he have for us, Petey?
I wanted to go close at the big eye, but there's somebody filming down there, so I didn't want to bother them. So here's the big eye. Yes, Pete here from WrestleMania in Dallas. And I think this weekend, Newcastle United against Spurs, or Spurs against Newcastle United, Heung-min Son, first goal scorer. Cheers, bye.
Cheers, Pete. Always working for the Ramble, even when he's on an amazing work jolly. Pete in Dallas says it's going to be Son, Heung-min. Game four is me, Crystal Palace against Arsenal, Monday, 8 p.m. this one. Do you know, on the way here, I saw a woman wearing an Arsenal jacket and a Crystal Palace hat. Ooh. And I'm still reeling. That is too much. Difficult one to pick because I wanted to go for Saka or Wilfred Zaha and not sure if either of those two actually will play. So I've gone for Jean-Philippe Mateta. Four of those then. It is game one. Harry Maguire for Jim Campbell in Manchester United versus Leicester City. Game two, West Ham versus Everton. Everton are going to get battered. That's Andy's pick. And he's also chosen Mikel Antonio. Spurs versus Newcastle is game three. Pete has gone for Son Heung-min from Dallas. And in Crystal Palace against Arsenal on Monday night, I have picked Jean-Philippe Mateta. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. You can play for free at betway.com/4to-score. Further T's and C's apply. 18 plus, and please do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. Oh my goodness me. It's time for something quite special.
It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
This is why you're fucked. Andy's game, baby! Yeah! It's making a great comeback. And do you know what? It's the players that make the game great. And
why
I'm delighted
is it called
to
Andy's
say.
Game, then?
I'm delighted. You're not doing yourself any favours here, are you? Look, this is something epochal because it is the first Kate Mason versus Jim Campbell clash ever. How are you feeling being part of history?
We don't actually totally believe that.
Yeah.
I think it's the first since records began.
Records began, yeah.
Playing it in the pub does not count. Okay?
And we can make conversation. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you'll need every bit of practice because it's going to be intense. Jim, you are starting.
Okay.
According to the algorithm. I don't want to put any pressure on.
Liar.
But he does want to.
Yeah, I do want to put on a little bit of...
Let me add a little bit of spice.
Early spice.
Yeah, early spice, because...
She was the sixth one.
This guy is still playing. He's played for five clubs, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And let me stress, if you don't get this right, you will never live it down.
This is a stitch-up.
Player one is Mesut Ozil.
Okay.
Five clubs. What you got for me? He's scribbling furiously. He's using abbreviations, I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, for some of these clubs of which I do not approve.
Okay.
Oh.
So there will be no leeway.
Okay, I got you five.
You've got five.
There's one I'm not 100% certain on.
Right, okay.
But
let's
can
have
I
it.
Go back, can I go down to four now?
You absolutely.
No, you
okay.
cannot.
All right. Okay, then. And this is clubs as well. Countries don't count, do they? In this?
Countries do not count.
You know that's Marcus's game. Yeah. Don't play for time.
So, Fenerbahce, where he currently is. Arsenal. Real Madrid.
Nice.
And I was at Werder Bremen. And I believe he started at Schalke.
Oh, hello.
There we go.
Ooh, big man things for Jim Campbell.
Just about lives it down.
It's lucky, that's Kate, that for your first turn, it's 1-0 to Jim, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that you have got the opportunity to show that you have the minerals. Because our next player...
I've got shitloads of minerals.
Retired.
Because I've got ovaries and you guys have only got bollocks.
Do you... huevos, por favor.
Eggs.
This player retired in 2011.
Yeah.
Oof.
And he played for 19 clubs.
Fucking hell.
Of which I'm expecting
that's not easy.
You get at least like 12, 13. It's well below par if you don't. Lutz, Fan and Steel.
Is this a joke? Is this a joke? You got that on the book. 12 clubs.
No, he's played for 19. I want you to get at least 12. Lutz, Fan and Steel.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah, it is April Fool's, actually.
Oh,
oh, it was worth it for the face, though.
What were you going to do?
I was just going to let you take the bullets there.
For what it's worth.
I was going to be like, three? Because they always play for, like, Millwall, don't they?
Lutz Fan and Steel, the out of interest, who has played for 19 clubs, and he's the only footballer to have played on every FIFA continent.
That's impressive.
Like, honestly, I would have struggled to get like three or four of these. And I actually know him as well. Anyway, his final
club... So can I have a point for that? Because I guess it was April Fool.
No, you can't. Maybe that'll be the tiebreaker. His final club, though, out of interest, between 2009 and 2011, he played 45 games for Ramblers.
Aww.
Isn't that nice? We love you, Lutz.
It's not a professional club.
No, Kate,
it wouldn't have counted.
We have a more suitable one for you.
Thank you.
This player is still playing. Played for four clubs. His name is Moussa Sissoko. Go for it. Again, feel shame if you don't get all four of them.
Oh, fucking hell, Brass.
Jim has set the standard here.
What are you doing to me?
Also, I want to point out to the listeners that I'm not wearing the spectacles I sometimes wear to rest my eyes on a Friday because I don't trust the others not to get the reflection off my iPad and get some of the answers.
That is the level you're dealing
That's
with.
That's the level of professionalism.
Yeah.
Four clubs. What's your bid?
Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh, wait, hang on. If I say... I can't tell how frowny Jim is.
And you can't look in
I'm just looking at his face.
You can't look in his glasses because he's using the pen and paper, so there will
be
no reflection.
Okay, so I'll say three then.
We got four, Jim.
You've definitely got three, haven't you? So I might as well do the four.
Okay. Right, cool. Let's have it.
This is a low percentage player for
it is. So Watford.
Did the Greater London thing give it away?
Yeah. Newcastle.
Also just watching football did.
Spurs. So, where did Newcastle get him from? That's the thing.
That is the big question.
I'm going to just take a punt and say Bordeaux.
You got away with it there, mate. Toulouse.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that.
Brilliant.
He looked beautiful in the violet. Played 192 times for them before turning up at Newcastle United.
Are you channeling the spirit of Marcus Beller?
Anyway. Beautiful in the violet. Lovely.
Marcus Beller, by the way, sorry to take a break from this wonderfulness, has been on absolute fucking form this week. Carry on.
Yes. Right, so it's 1-1. All to play for.
Mm-hmm.
This player retired in 2018, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
He played for seven clubs. He's Steve Sidwell.
Okay.
Seven clubs. Began his senior career in 2001 and retired in 2018.
He's more useful than Luke, I'll give him that.
Seven clubs.
Seven. What you got for me?
There's one I'm fairly convinced he didn't make a professional appearance for, so...
Well, that's really useful, mate.
Yeah, but I'm not 100% sure on it, so...
Right.
I'm
going to have to push you. Come on.
I'm feeling quite confident after that.
Yeah. I'm going to go four.
Four?
Do it.
That is the sweet spot.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. Do it.
Right. You want him to do the four?
Yeah, I want him to do the four.
Right. Okay.
Cool.
Go on then.
Chelsea. Fulham. Reading.
On the Côte d'Azur, is that?
Yeah. And Villa.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, 2-1 to the Campbell.
So I know he started at Arsenal, but I'm not sure if he played a game.
Yeah. No, he didn't. You would have been wrong. So,
do you know if he played first, for Palace? First, maybe I'm just imagining that.
No. First senior football, Brentford loan, Brighton and Hove Albion loan, who he later played for on a permanent basis, Reading, Chelsea, Villa, Fulham, Stoke City. Yeah. I wonder if Stoke are edging themselves into the Sunderland rule.
Yeah, yes. Stoke pop up a lot, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Right, 2-1 to Jim Campbell. Next one
I
for you.
I fluffed that. You did well, though.
Thanks.
Next one for you, Mace.
Yeah.
This player is still playing against the odds. 9 clubs.
Yeah.
He is Goran Pandev. 9 clubs. It's a tough one. Come on. Going to have to push you.
What the fuck? You gave this guy way more time.
Yeah, he's actually stolen your time. Really? By him taking ages, there's less time for you to procrastinate. 9 clubs, Goran Pandev.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
You did use some of your time praising Marcus, so, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That was just extra time.
And we're not allowed to praise each other in here.
Oh, God. Okay. 2.
2.
It's Oz.
Yeah, I'm not going to go for 3, so I'm going to see if you can...
Oh, okay.
You can do that.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to start with... Fuck me, one isn't math. I'm just doing a guess.
Okay.
Dino Zagreb.
Jim Campbell!
Oh shit, I didn't realise you were about to win!
It's a victory for Jim Campbell. It's a victory for maths as well.
And for Goran Pandev.
And a victory for Goran Pandev. Congratulations, Jim. Goran Pandev played for Belasica. Then he played for Spezia and Krona, Lazio, 159 games for them. Inter, with whom he won the Champions League. Napoli, Galatasaray, Genoa, and he is currently still playing for Parma.
Yeah, I had so Inter and Roma, so they were the only ones I was, you know, sure of, and one of them was completely wrong. Given that he played for Lazio, couldn't have been more wrong.
I should have gone for 2 because I could have had them. Wait, fuck.
You did go for two.
Well, that's really good. I'm really glad I did that. And I totally knew what I was doing. Well done, Jim. I think you've won.
There's nothing more that's Andy's / Luke's / Marcus's game than being 100% convinced that a player played for a club that they didn't actually play for. Is the very essence of the game. Look, I know the completists out there will want us to take this to its conclusion.
All right.
So, final player, Jim. 9 clubs, still playing, Ryan Bertrand.
Oh, okay.
How many? 9?
9. Bit of a surprise, isn't it?
It is. Lots of clubs.
Because clearly he's had a lot of loans, which is often the way with that, isn't it? So I'm just going to have a guess at... I'm going to try 3.
Okay.
I thought you were just going to like...
Kate, do you have more than 3?
I'm sure there are really obvious ones
in there that I'm going to kick
myself.
But maybe
I should just name a whole load of clubs, see what happens.
That's up to you.
Yeah, let's do that then. Yeah.
How many are you going for?
4.
Right, okay.
Yeah, happy?
Yep.
So, Chelsea. Southampton. Oh, fuck, I haven't really thought about this beyond that. Palace.
Palace went through my mind as well. QPR was the other one I had.
QPR.
Palace, you can get an extra...
Jesus Christ.
For those two. So,
it's been absolutely shit.
Chelsea. Hence all the loan clubs. Bournemouth, Oldham, Norwich, Reading, Forest, Villa, Southampton on loan before becoming a permanent Southampton player. And then going to Leicester City, where he currently resides. So congratulations, Jim.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, there's a reason that doesn't happen too often, is the impression that I'm getting. But congrats. I don't feel... Yeah. It wasn't as catastrophic as the Vish is just like death the other week on the Marcus game. But if I feel wrung out.
I'm on a roll.
Are you?
I think it's 2 wins in a row.
Bloody hell. Who have you been playing? Kids down the road?
You.
It's not official until Jimmy to the B says it is. That's the way I look at it.
Indeed. Yeah, great point.
The custodian of our great game.
Oh, listeners.
If only FIFA were like him, eh?
Yeah, it's a great point. Listeners, thank you so much for being with us on this lovely Friday, this lovely bloody freezing cold Friday. I hope you're nice and warm somewhere. And we'll see you on Monday. Thanks for being so great, Jim.
Thank you.
Thanks for being so great, Brass. Brass is wearing Mace branded clothing, so that's why I thought I had a chance.
Always.
In the game.
Thanks for your patronage. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. And thanks to the patrons, since you mention it. Lots of love, guys. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway.
halfway. It's Friday, 1st of April. Premier League for... Oh, fucking hell.
Fucking hell. Oh, cool, blimey.
Hit him with an eel.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.